Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, and welcome to Wilmington Business Radio. I'm your host, Ann Ravel Petcher. You know, we might be making history today, Aaron. On today's episode, if we don't make history, we're at least going to learn something, or at very least have some fun, I hope.
And I think this will be historic.
Did you notice she called this an episode?
I know.
It's an episodic.
Did she say historic or hysteric?
I can't even introduce our speakers.
I'm sorry.
They're just too full of fun today. So in the studio with me today are the two most influential men in higher education in Wilmington and the Cape Fear region. I am happy to introduce Dr. Gary Miller, who is the fourth chancellor and the seventh leader of the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Welcome to the studio, Chancellor.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Dr. Ted Spring, who came along kicking, didn't really want to come at all, is the president of the sixth largest community college in North Carolina, Cape Fear Community College. Welcome, Dr. Spring.
Well, thanks for having us here.
I'm glad you came.
I'm glad, and I was just wondering about the kicking side,
well,
where that came from.
Kicking and screaming.
I know. You didn't really screaming. This is true.
I thought you wanted to come.
I did. And I'm glad to be here.
So
this is going to be a long day.
It's
already
joy.
A long day.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Outside of the joy in the studio, so Drs. Miller and Spring, we asked you here to discuss the impact that higher education is having on business in Wilmington. For those listeners who may not be familiar with your institutes, either because they're new to the region, or maybe they're just considering moving their businesses to the region, or because they're not paying attention in class, I would like to start by having you both provide a little insight into your institutes, if you would. Dr. Miller, you bring Wilmington about 2,000 new Seahawks every year in the form of a freshman class. Is that about right?
That's right, to about 2,000, and then a good number, about 1,700 transfer students.
Oh, wow.
As well.
That's a big number. So that has a fair impact on our region. What's drawing these kids to your school?
Well, University of North Carolina Wilmington is a fantastic comprehensive university. It's in the UNC system. It's the third most selective institution in the system. We get about 13,000 applications for those 2,000 freshman spots every year.
Wow.
We have a great academic program. Students do really well, and we get lots of students from out of state, so we have a national and even an international reputation. I do want to say that about half of our transfer students come from Cape Fear Community College, which is, and they come incredibly well prepared, and in fact, we can't tell any difference in their outcomes than our native freshmen, and so one of the great assets of the university is our collaboration with my colleague here, Ted Spring.
That's great.
And the community college. But it's a vibrant, internationally known university in Wilmington, and we're proud to be here.
What kinds of majors are people, what's really popular right now? What kind of majors are people?
Popular majors.
Yeah.
Of course, we're the designated, Coastal University for North Carolina. We have one of the largest marine science programs in the country, both at the graduate and undergraduate level. Undergraduate majors huge. Psychology is big. We have internationally known writing and film studies programs.
Absolutely.
Our programs in the health sciences, nursing in particular, social work, those programs are very popular. And we have one of the finest chemistry departments in the state. So we offer the whole range of the arts and sciences and professions. Oh, and I forgot to mention the Cameron School of Business, which is a fantastic business school. So those are some of the popular majors, and I'll probably think of a few others as we go.
As we go along.
As we go along. I don't want to leave anybody out. But,
you didn't mention me.
No, I was just thinking about your creative writing program is nationally ranked as well.
Right. Yeah.
What did you major in, Ted?
Business.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a biology major.
So. Yeah, I'm sad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much you can learn in biology.
That's right.
Right.
Well, Dr. Spring, when I first visited Wilmington, I didn't even know there was a UNCW. But I was greeted by Cape Fear Community College.
What you guys have
downtown, this is an inextricable part of downtown living, is Cape Fear Community College. And it's one of the reasons that we chose Wilmington, actually, is just how much vibrancy it's bringing to living downtown. So tell us a little bit about what goes on at Cape Fear.
Okay, I'll do that. But first, I want to mention that you were just indicating that we contacted you. You knew who Cape Fear was. And Dr. Miller was actually the first person in Wilmington to contact me while I was still in West Virginia.
Oh, that's great.
And he actually sent me a plant. So, you know, that goes along with him being a biologist. I was really pleased to get it.
Yeah, no, I was cleaning out my office.
Cleaning out his office. No, Cape Fear has been in Wilmington for 50 years and certainly has provided a tremendous resource to this community in terms of job creation, job development, and support. The college is an institution with about 31,000 students.
Wow.
We have about 12,000 credit students annually, and the rest are non-credit.
Hmm.
We have a campus in Burgaw. We have an early high school program there. We have a campus we call the North Campus that's near Castle Hayne. And, of course, the downtown Wilmington campus, which is continuing to expand.
It certainly is.
And we are moving to Surf City. And we are building the first of seven buildings, and that building should be completed sometime, I think, in November or December of this year, and we'll start classes in Surf City in the spring.
Wow. Well, one of the things that both of your institutes are offering that really help our businesses in Wilmington are your internship and co-op programs. Can you each speak to how those work and what kinds of internships and co-ops you have available?
Well, an internship and a co-op is really a cooperative relationship with business. It's something that we have to offer together with somebody else in town. So an organization in town. So we actively seek out businesses to sponsor internships. We try to make them paid internships if we can. And what I think it's, and I think Ted will agree, it's very, very important for college students to have some sort of internship program, applied learning experience, co-op experience, for them to get a leg up in the career, particularly today. And we found this to be true in almost every discipline that we have. If we can get them some kind of work experience during their 4 years, it helps them start networking and they get a better chance to get a job. So it's a big part of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Of course, our average age is 28.
Oh, wow.
So we have a lot of our people who are out working while they're going to school and raising families. It's a little different than what you would find at the university.
Yeah.
So our students oftentimes, when they're ready to graduate, are already employed or they have something on the horizon because they've got the skills to put to use to go to work.
Okay.
We have a lot of our students in allied health, and they do clinical experiences, and this is the kind of thing that Gary's talking about, the partnerships that are so important with our students in the business community. So it's extremely important for them to get that kind of firsthand experience.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that partnership.
Well, we want that to be good for business, too.
Right.
So we spend a lot of time talking to businesses who sponsor interns about their experience, and if because we want these students to add value, and we want the business to want to hire them when they're finished, and so we're happy to say that for our students who are younger than yours and just starting in their careers, most of them, we have just had fantastic relationships with people in the community, in almost every field, business, health. In other areas where they offer internships, and we're getting really positive experience, positive feedback about, you know, the way our students work, the way they approach their work, their preparation, and so forth. We need to know that. So
I think one of the challenges for us is once our students start working in business, they're not finished with their degree and they leave because they have families to support.
Sure.
And so they're out there trying to earn the dollar, and when someone offers them a job, and these are good-paying jobs, they take it.
Right. Well, both of your institutions, I believe, have an interesting approach to working with businesses to provide courses and ongoing education. Is that correct?
That's true.
That's true. We do.
We, in fact, we're working with four businesses right now, and we're actually not training people to go to work. These folks already have jobs, but their jobs are so changing so rapidly that they need to be on the cutting edge. And so we're providing those skills that have been identified by their employers, hoping that we can come in and provide that education, that training, so that their employees remain where they need to be, and that is in a competitive situation, you know, with other companies, not only locally and throughout the United States, but internationally as well.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a huge movement in higher education to provide certificate-level training for people in jobs, and community colleges have historically done a lot more of this than four-year comprehensives, but we're looking at that very closely. We've reoriented our Swain Center to do a lot more of that work, and I think it's a wave of the future.
Yeah. Dr. Miller mentioned the marine science program, and of course, KFIR has a large marine science program as well. We have about 160 students, and I think everyone in the community knows that we, in January, purchased the Cape Hatteras, the research vessel, and it's just been a wonderful addition to the college. It's my understanding that when some of the students, maybe even many of the students from the university, are finished with those higher level courses in marine science, they often come over to KFIR and take some skill sets so that they...
We complement each other in that.
Right,
and
we do.
They're on the river, we're on the ocean, and it works fine.
Yeah, sounds great.
It's a great, great experience for the students.
It's actually interesting because one of the questions that was sent to me this morning by a recruiter, they said, ask them specifically what kinds of things you're doing to help people be on top of what they need to know technically for the changing work environment. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is one way, is by working with the companies directly, but what other kinds of things do you keep you guys up at night about what's changing in terms of the job requirements?
Well, I spend a lot of sleepless nights worrying about jobs because, you know, we have 14,000 students. All of them want jobs. We're looking at a future of a global interdependent world. A good half of the jobs we know about today will not be around in 20 years. The ones that are emerging are using technologies that are just now being invented. And students will, typical freshmen in an American university will change jobs 12 to 15 times before they're 40 years old. So we're really trying to create the kind of skills and entrepreneurial spirit that you need in the new global job market. And so the answer to the question is we start a lot earlier with students. We start talking to them about jobs right away. The faculty at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, in fact, has developed what we call an applied learning program, which is part of everybody's curriculum.
Oh, really?
This is a special project of our accrediting agency. And the purpose of this is to get students interested in careers very early in their freshman year and to get them some kind of practical experience in that, either an internship or through an applied course of some sort. And then we couple that with our career services operation, which changes all the time. They're responding all the time to the dynamic career. Mm-hmm. So it is a full-time job for us to get these students jobs. That's what we want them to do.
Well, I'd have to say I don't lose much sleep. Not at all. Most of our students, as I said, many of them are already employed. And, of course, we have 2 years and certificate and skill sets that we use or train our students take. And all of them are related to what's going on in the work world. So we have advisory committees that support our program. So we have cutting edge technology. We have students that are getting the skills they need to go to work. And as I said, many of them are already employed.
Right.
And those that aren't can get jobs and do get jobs. We have a tremendous record of success with certification passage rate. For example, our nursing program for years and years, 100%.
Wow.
Almost all our allied health programs, the students have 100% passage rate.
Hmm.
So they get jobs, they go to work, and they do a great job in the community.
That's great. Is that one of the situations you were talking earlier about the nursing program? Is that one of the situations where they start at Cape Fear and they finish at UNCW?
Actually, there's a couple of different pathways.
Mm-hmm.
One is, of course, students can start very early on a CNA program. They can do LPN. They can go to the RN. They can start directly in the RN program. And then there's a program called the Ribbon Program. Gary, you're familiar with that?
Yeah. Okay. And we offer bachelor's, BSN degrees, right. And we have a new program. It's a completely online program to take students from the RN to the BSN. We're first in the market, actually, in North Carolina with this, and it's been very successful. Mm. There's a huge need for health professionals.
There is, and
everywhere.
Yeah, that's
and
so
it's going. It's growing. It's going to get bigger because you're getting older, Ted. You know, some of us are.
This
be okay.
is true. Well, I hope to be older.
Yeah, right.
but one thing is so true that in order to get into the nursing program. At Cape Fear, it's very difficult. We have people waiting 1, 2, 3 years to get into the program. It's very selective.
Wow, that's great.
As it should be.
Yeah. We'd like to do more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. One of the other questions that keeps coming up is, obviously, people who come here to go to school want to stay here. We need to provide great jobs, not just passable jobs, not just, fill-in jobs, but really great, meaningful jobs for people that pay fairly. Obviously, right now, people who work here often feel they can pay a little less because, you're in Wilmington. Is there anything we can do to impact salary ranges here as a community?
Well, I think there is. The underemployment challenge is not restricted to Wilmington, but it is an issue here. Our approach is to be that entity in the community in collaboration with Cape Fear and local business in creating new high growth, high impact small businesses through our Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And we've succeeded in doing that. 14 companies so far created along with the jobs. And these are generally high paying jobs that are being developed. But beyond that, I think challenge is going to take a community effort, and it's going to take a lot of collaboration in the whole economic development arena, something Ted and I have been interested in over the last year, to attract knowledge-based companies and high-paying companies to Wilmington while we develop our own entrepreneurs and nurture those companies.
Yeah, I agree with Gary. I think there's a real focus on that right now in terms of encouraging business to come to this region and, as he said, high tech.
Yeah.
You know, that's what most of the focus has been on.
I think we often feel like there's a sea change, and Lake Ontario, where I grew up, we also often talked about the lake turning over. And when it turned over, everything was different about it. It was a different temperature. It was, usually after a storm. And it seems like Wilmington is getting to, it's starting its little sea change. And we're going to start to see a new Wilmington in terms of the business environment.
Well, I think we've been seeing it for some time. And if you look at the downtown area and the growth down here and what's going on just with the college, the new Fine Arts Center that will open up next year is going to have a staggering impact on downtown.
Yeah, tell us about that impact.
Well, there's 1,500 seating capacity for the theater. And we've talked a lot about the kinds of programming we'll be bringing into the theater area. And, of course, if you can imagine what a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee will do to downtown in terms of the people who are eating and using the restaurants and shopping and walking the streets and buying gas and all of those things, it's going to be a huge, huge impact. But just as importantly, it is not just a theater. It could be and will be a conference center. Mm-hmm. It'll hold 1,500 people. I think there's a lot of promise for the future in downtown, but it's been happening over time. A lot of people have had a great vision. I think Eric McKeithen, who was the former president of the college and the board, certainly had a vision for the college and how it would, fit nicely into the community. And I think we're all going to reap the benefits of that over the next few years.
Well, you've been doing a lot of new construction downtown.
We have. We have since, I believe, about 2008 when the county supported the $164 million bond issue. That was the start. Of course, they built the parking decks and the new Union Station building and, of course, the Fine Arts building. And we have a new gallery downtown. We'll be building three buildings up on our North Campus. And, again, we mentioned the construction that's going on at Surf City. So, yeah, we're doing a lot, and we're going to fill up those buildings. I think we're going to see more and more students coming to the college. We have 31,000 now. I can't even guess. Maybe 50,000 in 10 years. But we will definitely be, you know, expanding our role.
Well, that obviously impacts business downtown. How does that impact economic development?
Well, it's hard to imagine. It's easy to imagine the future of the downtown area. And it's very exciting to see what's happening around the college and in upstream from that. I think that as we get more residential in that area down there, high-end residential and other areas, we're going to have a very vibrant downtown area. And I think that attracts businesses. If you couple that with excellent health care and excellent higher education, the port, and a general good climate of entrepreneurship in this area, I think it's a recipe for a very, very attractive place for people to locate their businesses. And I see a pretty bright future for it.
Yeah, and economic development, I think that the university and the college certainly are drivers, absolutely drivers with the folks that we're putting in the work environment.
Yeah. So some of those are some of the things that we're starting to do right. Are there other things that we're doing right economic development wise that we can talk about?
Well, I'll just jump in. I think there's a lot of, as I said, a lot of interest, a lot of conversation, and a lot of forward thinking in regard to economic development. I think the city and the county are partnering. There's the Wilmington Business Development. There's downtown folks that are the downtown folks are working at it. I think this is all going to come together. I'm very optimistic about the future. I think that with the university here, which is just a wonderful resource, and the community college,
absolutely,
a wonderful resource, and a lot of forward-looking thought being taken right now. I really think Gary is absolutely right. This place is going to take off.
Yeah, I share that optimism. I think there's good. We've seen some real courageous and good leadership in the county and the city in the recent years in sort of pushing the community to talk about economic development and some of the difficult issues with it. But underneath that, I think Ted and I have seen this spirit of collaboration and a lot of really forward-thinking folks. People can imagine. It's easy for them to imagine a Wilmington, New Hanover County area, this area of North Carolina, is one of the most vibrant, most attractive places in the country. So I think as long as you have people like that who continue to push it, we'll get through the discussions and move forward.
Is there anything we dare talk about that could be improved?
Well, everything can be improved.
Well, sure.
I mean, we're all forward looking. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things that can be improved. I don't think I'd want to put my finger on any particular thing. Again, I think there's a bright future. I think a lot of things, all ships rise,
Sure.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really believe that as we move forward and we continue to focus on economic development and bettering our region and our community and our town, I think we're going to see wonderful things.
Yeah. I would just say that in economic tough times and slow recoveries like we're in now, there are very difficult choices to be made by our political leaders. And I think it's very, very important for the community to get behind investments in education at all levels. I think it's proven beyond a doubt that those investments pay off big time. And they pay off more rapidly than almost anything else you can do. You can invest in a tough time. And I would just, I know Ted and I agree, and we say this a lot, but I would just encourage the community and the business leaders in particular to really make it clear how important it is to invest in all levels of public education in the state.
I agree. Well said.
What else can business leaders here do to impact positively the business environment here?
Well, the more interaction we get with business leaders and our students and our faculty, the more great stuff happens. And you can't predict what it is.
Right.
Almost always it adds a job, or it creates some sort of a efficiency that makes things better, or creates a business. So I would invite all people, all business folks, to find a way to interact with us. We have an office of community partnerships in my office that is, you can contact my office and we'll find you a place. Okay. And we learned a great deal from them, and it just sets up wonderful opportunities for our students.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I agree again with Gary and what he's saying about having a, you know, a place or a space where businessmen and women in the community can come and enjoy the benefits of the college and the resources. We have a new, our new Union Station building. We have a conference center up on top, and many, many people have already been up there and enjoyed it. We have so many events up there that people, when they do come, get familiar with the college. Between the end of, the ending of February and the 31st of March, I think we have 36 events scheduled on the top floor. And so they have a chance to come in and meet people and talk with people at the college. It's been fantastic. Additionally, last week we had an open house. And we had thousands of people join us at the college.
Event.
It was a great event.
People got to see a lot of the boating that you guys do down there. That was great fun.
Right. We had 100 different areas of expertise being demonstrated, and the areas were packed. It was great. We had a lot of young people, young high school students, their parents hadn't been to the college before, and really took advantage of that day, that open house, to see what was being offered there. And I heard an awful lot of people talking about, gee, you know, I want my children to come here because when they leave, they can go to work or they can go on to school. They have a choice. Mm-hmm. So it was really, you know, very beneficial for everyone.
Fantastic. There's a big shop local movement right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. And one of the entrepreneurs in town actually asked me to get a feel for the kinds of things that the college and the university would be willing to outsource into local communities that are currently being done maybe internally right now, that maybe there are kinds of things that the private sector might be able to bring to the table for you.
That's an interesting question. Right now, for example, you know, one of the areas you can always outsource maintenance, and, you know, you look at your maintenance and housekeeping, and but it's very expensive to do that. Mm-hmm. We are looking at our services that we provide to the college right now. And I was sharing this information last week. For a college the size of Cape Fear, we're 40% below the average in terms of staffing for maintenance and housekeeping.
Wow.
But our budgets are tight. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make do with what we have. We had our own security service. And we took a look at that, and we decided we could do it better internally. We had been outsourcing it.
Okay.
So we felt we could do it better internally, so we're working on that as well. It's a lot of it today is about saving money.
Sure.
And where can you cut corners and still do a, you know, a good job or a reasonably good job? So outsourcing is always on our mind, but it's a difficult thing to pull off and do well.
Right.
Yeah. We do outsource quite a bit. Our food services, for example, which is a huge contract, is outsourced. Mm-hmm. Some of our work in our dormitories, which is outsourced. We look at that all the time. There, I think one of the areas where we're going to see more of this in higher education is in the IT area, where it's becoming increasingly difficult to maintain all of the facilities in your IT operation that you used to in the past. And there are safe and secure alternatives out there. So we're in the process now of hiring a new chief information officer. And that's one of the goals we want to give this person, is to look at that, is to look at outsourcing in IT and see if we can do it more. I mean, some universities outsource their email, for example.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And So we look at that anytime we can get that we have an opportunity. It's something that our trustees and the Board of Governors have asked us to do. So.
Great. What kinds of things have we not talked about your schools, about your institutions, that you think the business community here might be interested in hearing?
Well, I think one thing they might be interested in hearing is the Cape Fear Community College has just been recognized as one of the top 150 community colleges in the United States.
Wow. And congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're so excited about it. We're going through a process now with the Aspen Institute. Mm-hmm. And we are working through paperwork right now. If we are able to reach the top 10, they'll send a team of people to spend a few days with us and work in the community and and sift through whatever they sift through in order to select the final winner. And if we are named number one in the country, we'll receive a check for $1 million.
Wow.
So fantastic. I'd like people to know about that.
Yeah.
So if you're tapped in the community by this Aspen Institute and ask questions, I hope you'll be very positive.
Well, let's get them on Business Radio X while they're here.
Well,
they can talk
great.
About the Aspen
yeah,
Institute.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a wonderful recognition for us on the national level.
We
do get a lot of recognition locally and in the region, but this is a kind of a special
it really is. That's an
yeah,
honor.
Piece. Yeah, real nice honor.
That's fabulous.
You know, one of the intersections we have in North Carolina with higher education that's very unique and what it is our intersection with the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in the process of redeploying thousands of military men and women. Many of them were based out of North Carolina, will come back to North Carolina. The UNC system has a very organized program to capture the education needs of those individuals, and UNCW is and has been for a long time a military-friendly institution. We have a large number of veterans in our student body, and there are enormous business opportunities for keeping these highly trained individuals who've given extraordinary service to the state. And I think, in fact, Rayford Trask, one of the local members of the Board of Governors, leads that effort for the Board of Governors. And so we're very proud of what we're doing there, and I think that's something I would ask business people to pay attention to because there's a lot of potential there.
Employees, right. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, if there was one thing you could leave us with, as to a way that we can help you as a business community, what would that one thing be?
That's an interesting question. I just did an interview with a gentleman in California this morning. We were talking about that very issue, and we were talking about the skills gap. And there are a lot of jobs out there, but there aren't people with the skills in order to get those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with people not understanding that there are careers in technical education, vocational technical education that can provide them with a wonderful lifestyle.
Right.
And so it'd be great to hear more from the business community working with the schools, the high schools and the elementary schools, because getting that word down in the lower grades is so important. So anything that they can do to help generate excitement around careers and vocational technical education would be, you know, an important thing to do.
Great.
Yeah.
And I would just reiterate what I said earlier, that getting the business community behind public investment in higher education is the most important mm-hmm. thing they could do for us. And we appreciate all the efforts in that regard.
Great. Well, this has been great fun, you guys. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate
really
you
being welcome.
Here.
Thanks
so much.
Dr. Miller, Dr. Spring. And until next time, this is Ann Revel-Petcher for Wilmington Business Radio.